The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn today. 888-900 or 888-727-BECK. It's the Beto hype machine is in full operation right now. Not only are they trying to say that Beto O'Rourke, who is the challenger that's taking on Ted Cruz for his Senate seat in November, not only are they saying that he's only 1 point behind Ted Cruz, now they're talking about him for a potential run for the presidency in 2020. I mean, okay. It's just getting ridiculous. Okay. Come on.
Okay.
Can we calm down a little bit? A huge article from Vanity Fair. It seems like Iowa in 2007 is Beto O'Rourke the left's Obama-like answer to Trump in 2020.
They want him to be.
No, he's not.
They want him to be, though. That's why all the money's pouring in.
I think people are going to be really surprised when they find out this guy is white. I think they're going to be pissed.
No, but
wait, you're not Hispanic? Where did Beto come from? Well, I culturally appropriated a Hispanic nickname.
Well, I mean, so, it's a nickname.
Mm-hmm, it is. It's a Hispanic nickname for Robert Francis O'Rourke, a guy who couldn't get any whiter or more Irish.
So good.
They're making it such a big deal out of him. The article mentions how he's visited all 254 Texas counties in Toyota Tundra.
Oh, they followed him around like little lap dogs.
He does these running town halls where he runs and then stops, and they all gather together on the lawn, and he does a town hall, and then they start running some more. So the guy can jog. Wow. That's the one I want in the Senate, then. Or maybe even the office of the presidency, if he can jog and then do a speech.
Right.
Not that I could do that. It's just that I'm not sure that qualifies the guy for office. But they're in love with him. The left, the media, is just head over heels in love with Beto O'Rourke.
And this cannot happen.
It can't.
Not in the state of Texas.
That's what I'm hoping.
Because this cannot happen in the state of Texas.
I mean, according to this latest poll, he's 1 point behind. I tend to doubt that a little bit, especially because they used registered voters for that poll, not likely voters. And that could change it dramatically. If you eliminate those who, you know, they might be registered, but they're likely not going to vote. Right. I think Ted probably has, you know, he's got to be up by more than a point. I don't know what it is.
I sure hope so.
I don't know what it is.
I hope that's right.
I think in the end, he maybe wins by 10. I hope. But again, I
would
also
like to say even maybe more.
I'm pretty invested in this because I pledged to eat my underwear if Beto O'Rourke beats Ted Cruz.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
He was up by, I don't know, 14 or 15 at the time.
Plus, that was before, I mean, Beto had still been, you know, they were getting behind him as the big push, but that was a little bit before. And I'm not making excuses for you, and you still will step up to the plate with your bet. But that was a little bit before the big Beto push.
Yeah.
And they love this guy. And it's.
Yeah, he's getting all kinds of money from out of state.
Yeah.
All kinds of California money. For whatever reason, they're just in love with him.
Oh, yeah, and Ted Cruz.
Yeah. I know. Ted Cruz is the U.S. Senator, by the way.
By the way,
bigger name is on the line.
And by the way, did not appropriate any culture.
That's right. Right. If he did have a Hispanic nickname, it'd be okay. He's not appropriating it.
Thank you.
It's kind of agonizing. And you know, Ted is taking some time off. He's not even going back to Washington this week for some of the votes. He's missing some because the campaign is so important right now. He's actually campaigning right now and making sure that he shores up his base here. And I think, you know, there might be a problem with some complacency in Texas. We just, you know, you think it's Ted Cruz. He's not going to lose that. He's fine. I don't need to donate. He doesn't need that money because, well, Beto has outraised him 2-1. 2-1 in this campaign. It's unbelievable.
That's That's a big chunk of change.
Yeah, it really is. And again, I think it's in part because of complacency. We've also talked about the Trump thing. You know, he angered Trump fans at the Republican convention because he didn't endorse him. And then for those of us who kind of admired that because he stuck to his guns, 2 weeks later he did. And right. So then we were a little hacked off.
Right.
But it's time to get over all that because it's getting a little scary.
He's talked about as well the campaign when he was first running for Senate where they had held their money back. He used the phrase, kept his powder dry until it got closer.
Right.
And then spent the money on, you know, promoting the campaign. So, you know, we're in the, you know, we're in the final drive, the final turn heading into November. So maybe that's what he's doing now, too, as well as his, you know, making that push. But it does feel, and I say feel because I don't know for sure, but it does feel like Ted needs to get a move on.
Yeah, it does. And I think he feels that, too. I think there's a sense of urgency now in the campaign and with the Cruz people. And, you know, tomorrow's the first day of September. So it's time. It's time to start paying attention to this.
Right.
It's time to start telling your conservative friends to get out and vote and make sure that we don't let this fall by the wayside and lose Ted Cruz in the Senate. That'd be unbelievable.
I know, it's Democrats eating their own, but you know that's the same thing that kind of happened in New York with Cortez, right? I mean, he was just like, yeah, I'm not going to lose. I've been here forever. I'm fine.
Yeah, and he kind of took it easy,
right? And she hit the pavement, man. Yeah. She was out there getting the press, and it paid off,
right? Well, she's from she's Jenny from the block, essentially. She's
right.
She's from the hood, except she wasn't.
No, but.
That 40-minute drive from the Bronx every day, from the Bronx where she lived to the school where they enrolled her 40 minutes away every day. Well, except she didn't live in the Bronx that whole time. She lived near the school. So, but they based their whole biography thing on that.
Yeah, they sure did.
That her life view was formed during that 40-minute commute.
There, yeah,
I don't know what the deal is because then you have this other Democratic socialist Salazar, who used to be conservative. Right. Glenn interviewed her, in fact, in 2012, and like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, this Salazar lied about her roots too.
Amazing.
What was the deal there?
Amazing.
I mean, you've got to beef up your story, I guess, and make it sound. It's not okay. It's not enough that you were born in Miami. In the case of Julia Salazar, she was born in Miami, claiming to be an immigrant. Well, wow, you immigrated all the way from Miami? That's really something.
It's amazing that they. I mean, we're almost. I know that. The head of Google a few years ago said people are going to have to change their identity, and change their name because, everything's going to be out there. We're pretty close to that.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's and that means that you're going to have to make up a story about yourself, right? I guess so. You're going to have to change your name and you're going to have to make up some kind of story that changes everything so you're not known as the girl that was taking selfies, with her top off in New Orleans last weekend. I mean, I don't know. Everything is out there now. So, maybe that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the forefront of everybody just changing their name and telling us a story, which would be, I don't know, lying to us.
Yeah, and I just wish they'd change their policies. I don't want socialism, and this socialist movement is just really sweeping this millennial generation, it seems. And Ocasio-Cortez is in that generation, Julia Salazar is in that generation. At the edge of that generation you get a Beto O'Rourke who has virtually the same policies. I mean, you're talking about a guy who wants to bring socialism to the United States and is within 1 point in the state of Texas of actually being able to do something about that.
And we can now add governor's race in the state of Florida for our man, I forget, Gillum, Is that his name? Gillum, right?
Andrew Gillum.
Yeah, I mean, he's leans way that way as well.
Well, and he's I think he's an admitted socialist, isn't he?
We're in trouble.
I think he admits to being a socialist.
We are in trouble.
But fortunately, we have Ron DeSantis.
Oh, you're right.
Who I have no idea where he stands on any issue, but I do know this. He loves Donald Trump. And the proof of that.
Has he said that before?
I think he actually said it on one of his ads.
Everyone knows my husband, Ron DeSantis, is endorsed by President Trump. Okay. He's also an amazing dad. Ron loves playing with the kids.
Build the wall.
He reads.
Oh, my God.
He's actually building, you know, they're doing blocks there and putting a... Build the wall. Okay, that's really cute.
Stories.
Then Mr. Trump said, "You're fired." I love that part.
He's teaching Madison to talk.
Make America great again.
People say Ron's all Trump, but he is so much more.
Big league. So good.
I just thought you should know.
Ron DeSantis for governor.
Thanks for the information there.
Ron DeSantis for governor.
So that's what stands between Florida and a socialist. But you know he loves Trump, so there you go.
You're good.
What else do you need to know?
You don't need to know
anything. You don't need to know anything else. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. With Pat and Jeffy, 888-727-BECK is our phone number. Big new movie coming out. You've probably heard about it, First Man. It's about the first man on the moon, Neil Armstrong. So it's getting rave reviews.
Yeah, the trailer looks great.
Yeah, it looks
like looks really good. Like makes awesome. Makes you want to see the movie.
Ryan Gosling, I like him as an actor. And he's I think did he also direct this? He stars in it, and
I don't think so.
Did he executive produce it or something? Because he's talking like he had something to do with this particular decision that we're taking issue with. I hate it when they do this kind of stuff, because then it puts you in that quandary of, well, I don't want to support that, but I don't want to miss the movie. It's just a matter of, you know, which is the more driving force to me. Do I want to see First Man more than I'm angry about them not planting the American flag on the moon in the movie? So they skipped that whole event. You know, when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin landed on the moon, one of the first things they did was to plant the American flag. That wasn't a sign that America claims the moon for our own.
No, in fact, we made a point about that.
It just meant we did this.
We were here.
Okay? We set out to do this in a decade, and we did it. And it's quite an achievement. And nobody else has ever done it to this day. Here we are almost 50 years later, and it's still never been done again.
Right.
Except by us over and over until we got tired of it. We just kind of got bored. We're like, okay, we've been there, done that.
Yeah, well, we found out. I mean, Armstrong even said later that the United Nations tried to hone in on putting their flag up.
You know, and they could. When the United Nations gets to the moon, why, go ahead and plant the UN flag. That'd be great.
But that's when we decided that it was going to be our flag, but we weren't going to make any territorial claim.
Right, yes.
So if you want to go to the moon, go.
Exactly.
You want to put your flag up there,
go ahead. You can do it. As soon as Mexico is able to get to the moon, they can plant the Mexican flag on the moon. I don't care.
Well, Pat.
I mean, let's not get ridiculous.
But seriously, if any other country were to have done this, mm-hmm. we would not be having an argument over whether their flag was going to be in the movie.
No, it'd be in the movie.
Absolutely, 100%.
If it was the Soviet Union that beat us there, the Soviet Union flag would be planted this movie.
100% believe that.
So is it just something, though, that maybe they just didn't focus on? It just wasn't part of their story? No, this was a conscious decision not to plant the American flag on the moon in this movie. Ryan Gosling said, "I think this was widely regarded in the end as a human achievement, and that's how we chose to view it. I also think Neil was extremely humble." Well, that's true, but so what? As were many of these astronauts, and time again, he deferred the focus from himself to the 400,000 people who made the mission possible. You mean the 400,000 Americans who made it possible? Yeah, it wasn't 400,000 Soviets or Chinese or French. It was 400,000 Americans.
And even if it did transcend countries and borders, as Ryan likes to call it. Okay, good. Yes, it did. Great. And I know that Neil Armstrong...
still an American achievement.
You know, didn't see himself as an American hero, Ryan.
No, he just saw himself as an American.
Thank you.
I don't think he did consider himself a hero. No. But I think he did consider himself an American.
Absolutely. He said that, look, my job was to get the flag there. You know, I left the debate over what flag was going to be there to, you know, I think he was smarter minds or whatever it was. But mm-hmm. But the deal was, is that it was our flag because we decided that, no, United Nations, it wasn't you that did this. It was us. And we won't claim the moon. If you want to go there, you can go there, but we're putting our flag there. And how proud at the time, I mean, this is absolutely.
It's agonizing. It
really, really makes me angry.
Yeah.
one of the proudest moments in the country that we've tried to relive how many times?
It's one of mankind's biggest achievements, and it was done by Americans, and it was done after the vision was laid out for us by JFK, and he said, in the next decade, we will do this, and we will do it because, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. And they got it done. And it cost a lot to get it done.
Yes, it did.
Both in blood and treasure. And so to rewrite history when you do the movie about it is ridiculous. It's insulting.
It is insulting.
And it's disappointing because I've been hearing about this movie.
I know. We played the trailer.
Looking at the trailer. I really want to see this movie. And I hate supporting this kind of crap. But, you know, everybody's going to go to it anyway. Everybody's going to go to it anyway. Because on the right, we don't take that stand. We don't hear about a restaurant that donated $25,000 to Democrats and then say, "Oh, I'm never going to eat at that restaurant again. I'm going to boycott and lead a charge to boycott that restaurant."
That's because I want to go to that restaurant. And
I like the food, yeah. So I'm going to go there and eat.
I like the double cheeseburgers, please.
We like movies, so we continue to go to movies. Now, I don't know, has Robert De Niro pissed you off to the point where you're not going to watch any of his movies anymore? Because I know you were on the verge of that.
I'm at the point, really. I think so, yeah.
He's gone so far so. That you can't actually swear off his movies?
I went to watch one of his movies that I really love that was on some channel not long ago, Score, and he's... thief, you know what I mean? It's just part of the movie. But I mean, I love the movie, and I made it about halfway through, and I just couldn't take it. I was like, I can't watch it anymore. So I think he has.
This was post boycott decision.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so, but yeah. You did start.
I did start. Yeah. I did start. And I love the movie. You know, I love it. It's a stupid movie, but it's just, I can't. It's so frustrating.
I don't know. Maybe this is not as big a deal as we're making out of, but it really, really hit me the wrong way today.
Me too.
Why are you rewriting history? The fact is, an American flag was planted on the moon. So when you're telling that story, it just makes sense to show that scene because it's iconic and everybody knows it's there.
If you wanted to make a point like what they talked about, they could make a big point of the argument over what flag should be there.
Right.
And make the United States look like the bad guy, which wouldn't surprise me that they would do that.
With Pat and Jeffy today, boycotts. The left does boycotts all the time. All the time. I mean... This In-N-Out Burger story is just so silly, so ridiculous. They heard that In-N-Out gave $25,000 to the Republican Party in California. And so everybody jumped on social media calling for a boycott just because they gave $25,000 to the Republican Party. Really? That is unbelievable.
That sure is.
When did we get here? This is a pretty recent trend, I think, that just... The donation means that you've got to attack people. and you've got to silence them, and you've got to punish them. They either have to lose their job or they have to lose their livelihood in some way because they donated to a cause. Come on now. Come on.
I know. And look, I'm a fan of In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out Burger? Yeah.
Their burgers are great. I mean, the rest of the fries and the shakes are...
The fries are not good.
No, and the shakes are could be a lot better.
Yeah.
However...
And they are at Chick-fil-A.
Yes, they are at Chick-fil-A. So, and I'm not opposed, and I'm not saying this has ever happened in my life, of getting Chick-fil-A burgers, or I mean Chick-fil-A shakes, and then getting In-N-Out Burgers. I'm not saying that's ever happened in my life, but it could.
It could happen.
It could happen.
Yeah, and you wouldn't boycott either place if they donated to a Democrat.
I don't care.
Yeah, I mean... It's silly. If you start boycotting everything that's done by people that disagree with you politically, first of all, you're not going to have any entertainment choices at all. You're not going to be able to listen to any music or see any movies or watch any TV shows.
Ever.
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 And so when you start to get into something that we were just talking about that really hacks both of us off today, when in the movie First Man, they made a conscious decision not to show the planting of the American flag. So it's like they
the
never
most iconic moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the moon landing.
So you're not going to plant the flag on the moon. It's there. Why are you rewriting history?
Well, it's an achievement that transcends borders and countries.
No, it was an achievement done by America. The United States of America was able to achieve that. Nobody else was. And was it a transcendent moment? Yes, but it was a transcendent moment done by us.
And we were happy to share with the world of our accomplishment.
Right. We let you watch it on TV
with
the rest of us. So congratulations, of the world.
I will say I was reminded during the break that we probably shouldn't be so upset over it because it's fake. It was fake anyway.
So the moon landing?
So just stop worrying about it.
Yeah, because it was done on a soundstage in Arizona or something. Or was it Nevada? I don't know.
No one does.
There's actually, 11% of the country that believes that?
It might even be more than that now.
Yeah, it might be higher than that. Yeah, it's,
that's sad.
Amazing. 888-727-BECK. So is it worth boycotts? We've kicked this around a little bit. As to whether or not the right should boycott more people or more products or more sponsors.
I mean, we've seen that if done right, it works. Right?
It sure does.
If done right, it works.
It sure does.
And we obviously have not done it right, or we just don't do it and participate in
it. We pretty much don't do it at all.
But when it's done and you make noise on social media, you get news stories about it, companies bend.
Yeah, they do.
Companies.
Oh, they cave almost immediately. Well, already In-N-Out Burger started saying, "Hey, we give equally to both parties."
Yeah, take a look.
Yeah, we gave $25,000 to the Democrat Party too, and $25,000 to Republicans.
And that kind of ticks me off because that won't be good enough.
Man, no, it won't.
It won't be good enough.
No, it will not.
I mean, the one guy lost his job over donating money to a cause that failed. Right, I mean, the guy in California gave money to the abortion cause that failed in California, and they found out he gave money to it, and they still ran him off.
Yeah,
for donating money. I mean, it's not good enough.
Not at all. No. 888-727-BECK. Let's go to Joel in Georgia. Joel, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
How's it going, Pat and Jeffy?
Good.
So my question for you to guys today is with regards to the current trajectory of the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes further socialist than it is currently, and people are just sick and tired of, from my perspective, I feel as if though America might see the death of the Democrat Party in some way as if it were the Whig Party of the past, and another party could take its place in the vacuum, such as the Libertarian Party, because it seems more reasonable than Democrats right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would your thoughts be about that?
I mean, I'd like to see something like that happen, but I doubt that it will, because I think thanks for the call, Joel. I think Democrats have been largely accepting of the socialism coming out of their party. I mean, look at them. They almost nominated Bernie Sanders for their presidential candidate. You've got an avowed socialist, and you know he's a socialist, and he makes no bones about it, and he wants to bring socialism to the healthcare system, socialism to the educational system, you name it, and he wants the government to run it. So Democrats accepted all that. They've accepted it
sure
from
did.
Ocasio-Cortez. They've accepted it from Julia Salazar. They're accepting it from Beto O'Rourke. I don't know that it goes away. I think the Democrats just become socialists, named Democrats. And maybe they morph into the Democratic Socialist Party. I don't know. And just use both monikers. Because that's what a lot of them are
doing. That's what they're doing, yeah.
But to be replaced by libertarians, that's something that... That'd be too good to be true.
Yeah, you're not going to get that.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
That's a shame.
It is. It is a shame. And it's the anger on the left is just so palpable. And they're so angry about, well, Donald Trump, for one thing, and they hate him so much that all their energy is going down that path. Their energy isn't going to, hey, you know what? Let's bring this. Maybe the party has gone a little too far to the left. Let's pull it back a little bit. Let's come back to the center a little bit. They're too unfocused for that.
Well, it seems like we look at it and say, well, they've gone so far left, and you know, maybe they do need to pull back a little bit. And right now, the blue wave that is supposed to be you know, bringing doom to us has not happened. So if it doesn't happen, perhaps then you say to yourself, well, maybe if that doesn't happen, they'll say to themselves,
maybe they wake up.
You know, maybe we do need to wake up a little bit. Mm-hmm. However, it appears that what will happen is they'll just get madder and saying, we're too dumb. We're not smart enough to know.
We didn't go far enough.
And we have to go far. Right. We have to continue on that course farther down the road. And that's what appears to be happening. I would hope that they would see the light and come back a little bit and say, you know, that's probably too far. Nope.
Stu just discussed this on the TV show, filling in for Glenn last night. Is democratic socialism really the future of the Democratic National Committee? And I think it is.
Absolutely it is.
I think it is.
I mean, they're
totally
embracing it. We played the audio of what's-his-face saying, Perez saying that it's the future.
Yeah.
That Cortez, she's the future.
Right.
Okay.
Head of the party.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Andrew in New York. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
Hi, how's it going this morning?
Good.
I heard your mention of the boycott of the burger joints because of donations to the Democrat Party, or sorry, the Republican Party.
Right.
And up here in New York, or as some call it, Cuomo Slovakia, which
oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Proving to be more and more true. I worked for the state parks over in Sackett's Harbor, and I was a social worker for a little time, and you're mandated, whether or not you're in the union, to pay union dues, or at least you were up until the Supreme Court decision
right.
there.
Okay.
And the CSEA, they don't really give a flying fig if you're a Republican or a Democrat. They'll just donate to the Democrats willy-nilly, basically... essentially making you donate to causes and campaigns that you otherwise wouldn't.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's nice that the left has their free choice of boycotting things that they don't want to fund by boycotting this burger joint. But what about the rest of us who, you know, we paid our union dues and ended up donating to things we never wanted to?
That's a great
point. Seems like it would have been good for a boycott to me, but
yeah, and that happened for what, 40 years that rule was in place. Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah.
Like 40 years,
long time.
And like he said, before the Supreme Court finally put a stop to that. Rick in Florida, you're on the Glenn Beck Program. Hi.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Doing good.
I've got a theory about the flag on the moon not being shown.
Okay.
Earthman,
mm-hmm.
And I know this is a stretch. But, you know, there's a lot of flat earthers out there. and moon landing deniers who will say we didn't really land on the moon.
Right.
And as part of that evidence, they will point to the flag on the moon and say, see, it's not real. It's fake. So perhaps the movie producers said, look, we'll just leave this out. So that way there'll be less evidence for the fake moon landing people to stand on. Is that a stretch?
A little bit of a stretch, I think. Yeah, maybe.
It works a little, though.
Thanks, Rick.
It works a little. Plus, you know, I was thinking, okay, so we boycott. Do boycotts work? Yeah, they work. But the thing is, in the end, you know, in the end, for First Man, as you said, we're going to want to see it.
Yes,
we
are.
It's going to be a really good movie.
We're going to want to see it.
It's going to be a really good movie.
And you're going to be pissed for a second when you see that they don't plant the flag.
They don't plant the flag.
In the movie.
Right. And in the end, then you're going to walk out going, well, it's just a movie.
Yeah.
It's just a movie. And everybody knows the flag was there, so shut up. And while that's probably what's going to happen to us, or in most of America, it's a shame that it does. Because that's how things, I mean, we were just talking, those boycotts work.
Yeah, they do.
Those boycotts work.
When you deny people making money, that speaks pretty loudly.
Yes, it does.
And so if the movie made, you know, $38 at the box office, that would make quite a statement.
Yes, it would.
To its producers.
Yes.
It would send a strong message to them. However, that's not going to happen.
No.
888-727-BECK. The latest nonsense from the left is this called for boycott of In-N-Out Burger because they gave $25,000 to the Republican Party in California. By the way, they also, this election cycle, gave $80,000 to Californians for Jobs and a Strong Economy, which is a committee focused on electing business-friendly Democrats to the state legislature.
Hopefully it's good enough, but I don't think it will because it doesn't ever seem to be.
No, it's not. In this climate where Democrats are boycotting everybody who even looks at a Republican, they got to tear hats off people's heads. They've got to slap teachers. Grown men are throwing drinks in the faces of teenagers and stealing their caps if they're Trump supporters. Right. You got to shout and yell and scream and surround Trump supporters in public at restaurants or at a department store or wherever you see them. It's a ridiculous environment right now.
It most definitely is. And they've done, I mean, In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A, you know, they've all done stories about how they pay their managers well, how they treat their employees well, how they pay their employees well, how they go out of their way for the employees. And it's not good enough because they believe in the Bible.
Don't they? I'm hearing, because I never go to In-N-Out Burger, but they print Bible verses on their wrappers and things?
In the story that I was reading, it mentions that. And I did not know that either, because when I go to In-N-Out Burger for my double-double, I'm paying attention to the double-double, not the wrapper. But yeah, they do. They have Bible, you know, like Proverbs 3:5 on cups for milkshakes. And the water cup has John 14:6. And, you know, great.
I'm surprised the left hasn't freaked out over that.
I know, but that's
long
coming.
Long before
right?
now.
I know.
Yeah. Atheists claiming discrimination.
I mean, how could I eat a burger when the rapper mentions? You're right.
888.
That is.
727 Beck. It's amazing that they've gotten away with that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Pat in South Carolina. You're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I just remember a few years ago, the left called for a boycott of Chick-fil-A because of their religious beliefs. And all it really did was bolster their business for quite a bit.
Yeah, that's
You couldn't get near a Chick-fil-A. You couldn't get near a restaurant. They were lined up around the block. There was people holding up signs, support Chick-fil-A, support our rights, etc.
Yes. That's because
I really hope that happens in California.
I do too. The right really responded to that, though. Right, appreciate the call, Pat. The right got behind Chick-fil-A and specifically supported them afterwards.
Yeah, that was really good. That was a good move.
That was.
That helped a lot.
the Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on this Labor Day weekend. Hard to believe it's already... We're already at Labor Day weekend.
We're here, baby.
Wow, did that go by fast.
College summer, football.
Yeah. Oh, last night was loaded with college football and some NFL preseason, too. And then tomorrow, of course, is start of the BYU football season, which I know everybody's been on the edge of their seat.
I mean, this entire building is, I tell people, stop talking about BYU football.
Last night, the rival University of Utah played... their opening game against Weber State. That's a tough
Why
one.
Is that a problem?
That's not a problem. They just squeaked by 41-10.
Good teams usually start the season with a few teams that they can beat to get the ball rolling. You don't want to step right into the season up against big teams. And
well,
then,
except for BYU is doing just that, taking on Arizona this weekend in Tucson.
Arizona's got the BYU's got a tough
schedule. Yeah.
5-game schedule.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, the September schedule is ridiculous. Arizona, Cal, also on that schedule, Wisconsin, Washington, all in September. Oof. It's a gauntlet. But, you know, if they go 5-0 during those 5 games, Jeffy has vowed to eat my underwear. So I got to believe a lot of people are rooting for a 5-0 BYU start.
They can root all they want. It ain't going to happen.
It's going to happen. Just because that would just be such great karma for that to happen. It would be so sweet.
Why would you eat my underwear?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't understand.
What a dream come true that would be.
And on top of that, you'd be 5-0.
Right, yes.
Your BYU Cougars would be 5-0, I mean, most importantly.
So, sure, there's some side benefits to it. I like that. I like it. Interesting comment from LeBron on an HBO show called The Shop. It's actually executive produced by him, in fact. But he said when he was in high school, he had a severely anti-white perspective because of his upbringing. He said when he first got to the ninth grade in high school, I was on some I'm not effing with white people kick. Said I was so institutionalized growing up in the hood, it was like, they don't F with us, they don't want us to succeed. So I'm like, I'm going to the school to play ball and that's it. I don't want nothing to do with white people. So if you don't want nothing to do with them, that must mean you do want something to do with them.
Huh.
Do I have that right?
I think so, yeah.
He says, that was my initial thought and my initial shock to white America when I was 14 years old for the first time in my life. It took me a little while to adjust to it. Now, if this was a white person saying this about blacks, would that be okay? Would that be acceptable? If this is a white athlete that everybody likes, saying that he didn't want nothing to do with no black people when he was a teenager, would everybody say, well, it's great that you made that trend. It's so great that you changed like that. That's really, wow, that's
good
powerful.
Good question. I wonder. The answer is doubtful.
Yeah, I think it is. That is very, very doubtful that would be the case. I think that white person probably loses their livelihood. You know, if In-N-Out Burger can't give $25,000 to Republicans and not face a boycott, well, certainly a white person couldn't say something like this. It's just a double standard.
Oh,
you
well,
know,
clearly,
it's gotten
clearly there's
so
been a double standard. And that's
so
even with, you know, our former president, Barack Obama.
Yes.
He talked about the same thing, right?
Yeah, he did. He had a real struggle with race, and he talks all about it in Dreams from My Father.
So, and that's a wonderful thing, according to the world.
Yes. Oh, they celebrated him like crazy for it. Also, the New York Times published a comprehensive detailing of the allegations made against Representative Keith Ellison by his ex-girlfriend, Karen Monahan. it's a long, they say it's a long and sad story with little resolution. Now, this guy was under these allegations when he won the nomination for Attorney General in Minnesota a few weeks ago.
Right.
And it didn't matter to people then. And I don't know that it matters now. But what's interesting about this in this Me Too age, his ex-girlfriend claims she has a video, right? And people are asking to see it. Well, okay, if you've got a video of him, they claimed
there was video abusing video of you. The abuse. Yeah.
Yeah, let's see it. Prove it.
Which we said from day one.
Which we said.
By the way, let's see it.
All along. And look, I can't stand Keith Ellison. I think he's hideous. Politically, he's reprehensible as a human being. I don't like him. However,
and we probably would, not because of the abuse, but it would be nice to see him take a few.
Yes.
Come down a couple of notches.
It sure would. It sure would.
And this would be something that would bring him down.
However, people have been asking to see the tape. Now, his ex-girlfriend, Monahan, has stated that she won't produce the tape.
Right.
She told Minnesota Public Radio in an interview because it, I'm quoting now, sets the expectation for survivors of all kinds of forms of abuse, whether it be abuse toward women, abuse from police officers, abuse from other people in power, to have to be the ones, like I'm doing right now, to show and prove their stories. Well, yeah.
That's kind of the way it works.
You're the accuser. He's the accused. And in the United States of America, the accuser must prove that the accused committed a crime. There's something called innocent until proven guilty. Not just innocent until accused of something. Oh, well, he was accused. Well, we just automatically believe her.
That's it. Oh, my gosh. That's it. We're done.
So, I mean, you can't, I don't know if you can ascribe any credibility to her now, to her claims.
I don't know that anyone actually has. Have they?
No.
For real?
Yeah, I don't know. It keeps coming up, and the New York Times did a huge spread on it yesterday.
I'm sure the New York Times would love, I mean, I'm fans of, hey, we're going to accuse somebody, they're done. Oh, okay.
But you wouldn't think they'd be doing that in the case of Keith Ellison, because, you know, that's one of their people, Keith Ellison. But they actually printed her claims regarding that relationship, including that he narcissistically abused her and committed soul rape. Wait, what? Soul rape?
Yeah, I'm sure that there's video of that as well.
If there is video of that, I want to see that, because I want to know what that is.
No, they're sitting in the living room.
They're sitting in the living room?
They're sitting in the living room.
And he's raping her soul.
You can tell.
Oh, boy.
I'd like to see it. I have a feeling I know what she means, and that's pretty much what it is. You know, he's just...
You know what it is.
I think so.
You understand soul, right?
I do.
Okay. All right. Is there anything you want to tell us that you've maybe been through this, experienced it?
No.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I have experienced it.
you've experienced soul, right?
I have.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. I work in this building.
You're treated like a king in this building. Don't give me that.
Oh my gosh.
888-727-BECK. When you've got somebody who claims to have a video of something like this, of some sort of abuse,
you have to,
and then refuses to show it because she shouldn't have to prove it,
and mad because we don't believe her.
Yeah, stop it. No, I'm sorry. That made it completely illegitimate to me. I don't believe her at all anymore.
Yes. And that was from the beginning, right? I mean, she didn't even want to be a part of this, right? It was her kids that started this whole madness.
Yes. But she backed up what her kids were saying.
Right. And okay, that's great. And we were all for it and thought it was horrible. And man, what a bad guy. And how could something like this happen? I mean, how could we let something like this happen? Let's try to help you and put a stop to it. Show us what you're talking about. No.
No, I'm not going to.
Just believe what I tell you.
Yeah, I shouldn't have to do that. Well, yes, you should. You're the accuser.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's how it works here. In fact, I'm not sorry about that. That's how it works here. Right. And I like the fact that it works that way.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it.
Yeah. 888-727-BECK. Brett in Pennsylvania, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Yes, I wanted to confront you guys on the socialist Democrat embracing that's been going on.
Right.
I just read an article in the Atlantic today with Elizabeth Warren, and she is essentially embracing capitalism, saying, I'm a capitalist. And then she went on to say a few things, and it sounded a lot like Glenn's type of stuff about how the bigger corporations are using crony capitalism to shut out smaller businesses and competition and things like that. So I was wondering if you thought maybe she was pivoting away from the social democratic angle and going maybe going to go towards the I'm a capitalist and here, you know, and kind of rebranding herself from the, you know, we you didn't build this packaging that she currently is wrapped up in.
Yeah, I think she's paying lip service to that. And maybe she feels like, okay, we're not there yet where we can all just embrace socialism and just admit to socialism, because she sees that in every case of a Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez endorsed candidate, they've lost. And that's what, 8 or 9 people so far? Every single time this socialist has endorsed a candidate, they've lost their election. And I'm sure, you know, she's a hip enough politician to realize that we're maybe not quite to the point now where you can come right out and say it. So I think she's paying lip service to capitalism like Barack Obama used to do every once in a while. Appreciate the call, Brett.
Yeah, well,
that's my guess anyway.
Right.
Because she's pretty left-wing.
Absolutely. And she just not long ago talked about it. I was just trying to bring it up. She just not long ago talked about nationalizing all the businesses.
Right. Yeah.
So I have a feeling that's her saying that, look, I'm a capitalist.
Yeah.
That Obama used to do the same thing. Barack Obama way.
Yeah. Every once in a while, just to throw it out there so he could see, so that he could say and his supporters could say, well, no, he talks about capitalism. He loves capitalism. He used to say it once in a while. I'm a capitalist. I love capitalism.
I'm a capitalist.
Then he'd usually follow that up with, I do think at some point you made enough money.
Correct. I'm a capitalist and I love this country, but you know, it's
okay.
There's got to be a time.
Yes.
When we step up and help these businesses be fair.
That's what they do. That's what they do. Now, Elizabeth Warren is old school. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is from the new school, and she's fine with saying it. Elizabeth Warren's not quite there yet. 888-727-BECK. Speaking of football, as we were a few minutes ago, the season really gets rolling this weekend for college football, and then next week, the NFL kicks into gear.
Yes.
Also next week, a week from today, on Pat Gray Unleashed, which starts every day immediately following the show on the Blaze Radio and Television Network, we're bringing back Moron Trivia.
Yes, baby.
The second hour of Pat Gray Unleashed, beginning next Friday. Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears, to kick it off.
I love it.
1 week from today.
I'm excited. It's
going
to be fun.
It's
going to
be fun. 888-727-BECK. Craig in Ohio. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hello, guys.
Hey.
I wanted to bring up a point of, you know, what I saw Trump do this past election. I saw him mobilize a lot of Democrats, in my opinion, to vote for him. I see him mobilizing the Hispanic base, the African-American base, over to the Republican side. But where the Democrats are now becoming Democratic socialists, I feel the old conservative mantra, the old Republican mantra, we also need to morph, right? So I feel if we lose the House this November, it will be because, for instance, a lot of Democrats in Ohio that voted for Trump aren't ready to vote for Steve Chabot, who's been in Congress, you know, 20-plus years, has the old, almost the old, you know, things about him where Harry's probably anti-gay marriage, he's anti-this, anti-this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that skin needs to be shed almost, and Trump's started us down that path. I think there's a lot of people that traditionally voted Democrat that are ready to brace conservative ideas, but just not all of them. I think we need to change the party fundamentally a little bit. I'm a millennial myself, always been voted Republican, but there's things the Republican Party, and we heard more about it under Obama than we do Trump, but for instance, gay marriage. I personally don't care. My friends don't care whether two guys, two women want to marry each other. We just don't. It's not important to us. We want to raise our kids. We want to be raised, you know, we want to be left alone. We want everybody to be able to live their lives.
Well, that's the point, though, right? We want to be left alone. stay out of our lives.
Correct. Now, that's not to say, hey, we're ready for everybody to be able to use whatever bathroom they want. And I don't think that's what people want. But I think the Republican Party as a whole needs to reexamine themselves and say, hey, maybe some of the old hardline stances, we need to embrace these Democrats now. My father's a Teamster, 30-year Teamster. He now votes Republican because of Trump and some of the new ideas. But we need to embrace these Democrats that are fed up with that socialist title. And really, I think we can gain back control of the country for a long, long time and not even have to worry about losing the House in the November election, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, Craig. I think the party, to a certain extent, has already embraced Trumpism. And that includes a lot of what you outlined. As far as the same-sex marriage thing, yeah, that horse left the barn. So, I mean, there's no sense in even talking about it really right now because it's over. That debate's over. Supreme Court ruled on that. I don't know if you want to make it an issue to try to reverse that trend. That would be a tough battle. And so, yeah, maybe you leave that alone. But there's a lot of things that that Trump believes that I don't necessarily want to adopt in the Republican Party. And so I'm not sure I'm on board with changing the fundamental platform of what the Republican Party should stand for or once stood for. It doesn't really stand for that anymore, it seems to me.
No, because everybody's given up on their principles, right?
We just give in. Yes. We just caved. And so... You know, if you have certain beliefs religiously, there is a reason for the beliefs that people have and the things that we fight for. So a lot of those have just been flushed down the toilet in the Trump age. And it's not about those principles anymore. It's about what Trump believes. And I don't know that I want to continue in a party like that, quite frankly. I'm more concerned about the principles than I am whether or not Trump supports them. And I guess I'm alone on that because, I mean, as we played earlier,
just thinking of this.
Listen to this DeSantis ad.
Everyone knows my husband, Ron DeSantis, is endorsed by President Trump, but he's also an amazing dad. Ron loves playing with the kids.
Build the wall.
He reads stories.
Good golly.
Then Mr. Trump said, you're fired. I love that part.
He's teaching Madison to talk.
Make America great again.
People say Ron's all Trump, but he is so much more.
Bigly.
Is he?
So good.
I just thought you should know.
So embarrassing is what that is. So, so embarrassing.
What you got, Florida?
But, is it better than the socialist? Yes. Yes. Yes, he is. Would I vote for DeSantis over Gillum? Yes.
Yeah.
I don't even know what he stands for, though. I mean... You know,
well, he believes in a lot of things bigly.
He believes in the cult of Trump. And is that enough for people?
It certainly pushed him into that slot.
Yeah.
Where he's at. I mean, Adam Putnam was winning until Trump rubber stamped DeSantis.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's amazing. It's just amazing. So, do we want a big tent party? Yeah, I guess as long as you don't have to compromise your principles. Do we want Democrats to be comfortable voting Republican? Well, yeah, unless you have to compromise your principles. 888-727 back. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn. Happy Labor Day weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Wasn't necessarily talking to you, but...
Oh. I mean, I just...
Yeah.
I thank you anyway.
Okay. Al Gore was just on, I don't know, some local TV news station where they did kind of a little feature on him and they asked him, what do you say to these climate change deniers?
Take it from Mother Nature. Every night on the TV news is like a nature hike through the Book of Revelations.
I love that. I love that line. He uses it.
Yes, he does.
All the time.
That's a go-to line for him.
Take it from Mother Nature. Every night is like a nature hike through the Book of Revelations. First of all, Al, It's the book of Revelation, not the book of Revelations. Okay. Secondly, I have not gone on a nature hike through the book of Revelation weather-wise every night. What are you talking about? It's unbelievable the stuff that comes out of his stupid mouth.
Look around in the news.
Look around, man. Yes.
Look around.
Every night is like a nature hike through the book of Revelation.
Former Vice President Al Gore visits downtown L.A. as the Trump administration feuds with California over environmental regulations.
So if he's watching this, what...
He being, of course, Donald Trump.
What's your message to President Trump when it comes to climate?
My only message would be resign.
That's brilliant. my only recommendation would be to resign.
I don't mean to be flipping about it.
I don't mean to be flippant about it, but I'm being flippant about it.
He is prepared to
listen to advice
about the importance of clean air and clean air.
Mm-hmm. That's something that ticks me off about the environmentalists.
What?
They are always, always in, and I say our faces, because I'm a climate denier. Mm-hmm. I know, on record. Mm-hmm. That we aren't willing to listen. But they're the ones.
Right, who are telling us all the time
to listen to the facts.
Yes, right.
That really ticks me off.
You're right.
Because if you came to us...
They tell us that there's no discussion to have. We're trying to have a discussion with them.
There is discussion to have. If there's a problem, let's fix it.
Yeah, let's listen. Let's talk to each other about it. Come on this show. Come on this show and debate us about it. He won't do that.
Not a chance.
He would never do that, ever. I've tried, believe me. When an Inconvenient Truth came out, their criteria was, and I was in Houston
at
the time.
They always have this list of gigantic things you've got to do just to maybe get an interview.
You have to go see the movie. Okay, I went to see the movie. So I went to see the movie, and then I called back and said, okay, I met your criteria. Let's have it. Mr. Gore isn't doing any interviews. Oh, is that why I see him on some interview every freaking night?
Water.
Jeez.
A recent report shows climate change in California is likely going to be worse than originally thought.
It's likely going to be worse.
It's likely going to be worse than we thought. I love how they've ratcheted this thing up, because none of their predictions have been true so far, but we're supposed to believe this one. Okay, so every prediction you've made so far has not come to pass. But now it's going to be worse than all of that.
This time it's going to be worse.
Oh, okay.
Meaning higher temperatures, more fires, and more deaths.
In fact, we're finding some of those developments from your book of revelations every night on the news is caused but directly from things that we've done because you said we had to that were wrong.
Yeah.
Directly.
Yeah.
And it's like, please. Mm. It might get worse if we allow you to continue with your regulations.
Tell us it's going to get worse if we don't change. We've got to listen. We need to put a price on carbon. We need to conserve energy. We need to switch over to renewable sources of electricity.
You need to continue to pad my bank account.
Right.
You need to continue to make me a richer man. I'm the first ever environmental billionaire, and that's not enough for me. So
clearly,
that's what he wants. That's what he wants is more money and carbon. We got to start putting a price on carbon. Oh, wow! Amazing stuff. Amazing.
I'm sure that Al could help you out with detailing a plan.
I'm sure he could. Yes. Oh, absolutely, he can. He's got a plan, and it only costs $10 trillion. It's just his plan is actually $92 trillion. But let's start with the 10, okay? If we could just start with the 10, then we'll get to $92 trillion later on.
Because we start with the 10, it'll start to turn things around.
That's right.
You're going to see how good it is, and then we'll move
forward.
Then
you're going to be okay with spending the $92 trillion, which, by the way, is only more than all the money in the world.
92 is?
Yeah, 92 is about 30 trillion more than all the money in the world.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a fairly good chunk of change.
Now, if you, it's more than all the money in the world right now, right?
Yes.
Plenty of countries are still printing money.
That's true. We could, I guess we could just keep printing until we get to 92 trillion.
So it's not that
far. That's a good idea, Jeffy. We can do that. We can do that. That's not a problem at all. all right. 888-727 Beck. Let's go to Ryan in Ohio. Ryan, you're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy.
How you doing, Glenn? Pleasure to speak with you.
It's Pat, but go ahead.
This is Glenn.
Oh, hey, Scott.
No, it's Pat.
I am very, very curious as to why there's so much media silence on that compound in New Mexico.
I know.
And why no one is up in arms about that prosecutor dropping the ball and letting those people go.
We've complained about that too, Biff. I don't know what the deal is on that, Steve, but my gosh, it's agonizing, isn't it? Appreciate the call.
Yes, it is.
It is agonizing.
Did Ron leave?
Jim just hung up now. Or we hung up on him. Maybe
Paul makes
too,
a good point,
too quickly.
Though.
Yeah, he did.
He makes a really good point.
Yeah.
He makes the same point as Steve did.
Well, it's the same guy.
Yeah. Oh.
You know.
Oh, okay.
Bob was telling us that that the compound situation in New Mexico is a strange one. And it is.
It is a strange one.
To be serious about that.
Yes.
You've got a guy who murdered his son. We at least know that through neglect and whatever, his son was killed. We know that he was training a dozen kids as school shooters. We know that they found plans for a terror attack in Atlanta. We know that the five of them were apparently complicit in all of that. Right. And yet three of them have been let go. They just, see ya.
Because of prosecutorial neglect, they got let go, right? That's what they said. They said they didn't do it in time.
It's crazy. It is crazy.
Then they, within a very short period of time, they had already cleaned up where they were living.
Right.
They had removed, all the debris in a trailer and everything that was there.
Yeah, they demolished the site.
It was still a crime scene.
Right. Even though they demolished the site.
And so the whole thing.
I don't know what
the relationships from this guy, from the one guy and his father.
Yeah.
And other relationships. I mean, the whole thing is really, really weird. And I don't know where you go now to say what was wrong, who was, if anything was wrong, or this was just, down the road neglect by prosecutors and the judge was following the law. But the judge started it out with no bail, right?
Let him go on a signature.
Right.
Bond.
No bond. And so
you just signed for it.
From the beginning of this, it all felt wrong.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. Travis in Florida, you're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy. Hi.
Yes, sir. How are you, Pat?
Good.
Down here in Florida, it's just a big a terror show is the way we can word it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You have Mr. Gillum saying that Mr. DeSantis is playing out of the Trump playbook, and then Gillum is doing the biggest Democrat play there is, where if you can't be the victor, you have to be the victim.
Yeah.
Of racism.
Right. Yes.
I don't get it.
With something that clearly was not racism.
It was something, poor wording.
Yeah, but I mean, the monkey around he was talking about was the agenda, not the man anyway. So if you're trying to make monkey into some sort of racist comment, well, the monkey was the agenda. Don't monkey around with his agenda of socialism. That was just ridiculous.
Yes. I mean, the world has said, don't monkey around, don't monkey up, don't muck it up forever. There's nothing racial about it.
Barack Obama used the term when he was campaigning. So is he a racist? Does he dislike black people too? I mean, it's stupid. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Travis.
And you're right, Travis. And that's it's a good call on the playbook. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no more dog whistles. They're using bullhorns. It's the Trump playbook. And now, instead of moving forward, DeSantis has got to try to backpedal. And whether he apologizes or whether bad wording or whatever, he's never going to seem like he can't get past it. You got to find a way to get past this. And it will be a long time because they'll keep bringing it up, and then you'll think you're past it, and he'll say something else that's dumb, like everyone else does, and then that just adds on the list. Oh, DeSantos said monkey up again, just like he did 2 months ago, and it'll be all about race again.
Hard to believe, terrible, though, that Florida could elect a socialist.
It
a
sure
guy
is.
Who's an admitted social. It's
I know.
Hard to believe.
But, you know, Bill Nelson has been a senator there for I don't know how many years now. Too long. He should have been out a long time ago. Hopefully Rick Scott will kick him up this time. It'd be nice to see. But the I'd like Bill Nelson to be a nice guy, but Bill Nelson is pretty darn close.
Sheila, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Yes, good morning.
Hey.
I just have a comment. You had an earlier caller that said most conservatives don't care about what liberals do. We just want to be left alone. And I believe that to be true, but they're not leaving us alone.
That's true.
And one thing we're not talking about is our public schools.
Mm-hmm.
They are after the hearts and souls and minds of our children, and no one is talking about it.
Yeah, they're more than after them. They've captured... Yeah. They've captured the hearts and minds of our children.
And, and you're right, although I do know that, and not for nothing, that this program and this network has talked about it at great length.
Yeah, we've talked about it quite a bit because it's really important. What has happened in our education system is amazing. It was also brilliant on the part of the progressives. They knew that if they could get control of the educational system, they can control the hearts and minds of a whole generation of people, and that's exactly what's happened here.
And it was a good plan. Exactly. Not next week, not next year.
It took 100 years, but they did it. They did it,
yes,
and now we've got the fruits of that, where millennials have different. They just have different standards than some of us who went to school previous to this generation. And we heard it earlier today on the phone from a millennial. Certain things they don't care about.
It doesn't matter.
Same-sex marriage is one of them. They don't care about that. And I think you'll find that in the vast majority. There will be exceptions to that. But the vast majority of millennials, totally fine with that. They don't care about that at all. They don't see any reason why anyone would oppose it. They think that socialism is fine. They think socialism is great in some cases. They believe that education should be free. They believe that there should be no debt when they get out of higher education.
That's so fascinating.
They believe that socialized medicine is great. Why wouldn't you have that? Every other country in the world. Well, that's what they're told in school all the time. Every industrialized nation on earth has
better
health care
than
us.
This country.
Yep. That's what they hear.
Really? That's strange.
So that's where we are now. With millennials is they've been indoctrinated by the educational system. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. With Pat and Jeffy, it's Labor Day weekend already. Summer went by so fast. Of course, in
Still
Texas,
summer
can't end fast enough for me.
It's still summer.
173 degrees every day. I can't wait for summer to end. So I welcome it. Thank you very much. And, you know, football season is here. So it doesn't get any better than that.
Leaves are starting to change.
Well, not
cool
here.
Cool air is blowing. And it's not 173. I don't know why you lie to the people, because last week it was like 130.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's cooled down in August.
It has cooled
to the low 130s. And every once in a while at night, it'll get all the way into the 110s, which is just...
You go outside, it's like,
a little
whoa.
Chilly. Yeah, it takes you back a little bit. Whoa.
What's going on?
888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn. Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn. Don't forget, 1 week from today on Pat Gray Unleashed, which starts immediately following this show on the Blaze Radio and TV Network, Next week, we will debut more on trivia for the year.
Nice.
And then every Friday, all through football season, we'll be doing more on trivia again. It's back in the second hour of Pat Gray Unleashed right after this show. Chinese spies are using LinkedIn. How many times have we said this stinking service, this LinkedIn, is going to be the death of us all? United States top spy catcher said Chinese espionage agencies are using LinkedIn, fake LinkedIn accounts, to try to recruit Americans with access to government and commercial secrets, and the company should shut them down. It's amazing how much spying China is doing in the United States and getting away with.
Isn't it?
I frankly don't understand it, how it's possible. William Evanina, the U.S. counterintelligence chief, said that intelligence and law enforcement officials have told LinkedIn, which is owned by Microsoft, about China's super aggressive efforts on their site. He said the Chinese campaign includes contacting thousands of LinkedIn members at a time, but he declined to say how many fake accounts U.S. intelligence had discovered, how many Americans have been contacted, and how much success they've had in the recruitment drive. You couple this with the story we just heard in the last few weeks about all of the American agents in China that were murdered by the Chinese. They killed something like 30 of our spies in China over the last couple of years. I think since 2012, they've killed 30 American spies.
Were they putting that on to having access to the Hillary emails?
No. Well, I mean, some people have tried to make that out of it, and I don't know if there's much to that. But
I don't know either. That's what I was asking.
What they think happened now is that the CIA screwed up, and it's a complicated process about how they hacked in through a system that shouldn't have been opened, but they opened it, and it's
of course.
And so they found a bunch of names there. And just started killing him, eliminating him. Amazing.
It's, and there, you know, I mean, obviously no one will, but someone definitely should be held accountable for that. I mean, we're costing lives, American lives, on foreign soil is not correct.
And like you said,
not a good thing.
As you said, no one will be held accountable. Yeah, no. And yeah, if there's something you should be held accountable for, yeah, it's screwing up
yes.
to where 2.5 dozen agents are killed. Yeah. Maybe somebody's head should roll for that. 888-727-BECK. We found out something interesting on MSNBC. That's where you find out all kinds of...
A lot of interesting
really
things.
Interesting and really good quality
Insightful.
Information. Yeah. Found out something about Trump voters from a couple of the MSNBC anchors.
A lot of people vote pretty selfishly, and they say, what's going to give me more money in my pocket?
Or what's going to keep, or what's going to make abortion illegal? Or what's going to make sure that my Second Amendment rights stay the same? And clearly...
So you're saying, wait, you're saying that people vote for the people who represent their values? Sorry. Whoa, is that selfish?
I mean,
what pigs those people are.
How did we set up a system like that?
What a terrible, what awful people. They vote their own interests. They vote for their principles and values. They vote for the things they believe in.
Man, do I hate those people.
I hate those people.
I don't even want to do the rest of the story. I'm saying.
I know. I am so mad at those people, those Trump voters. Oh my gosh. On the other hand, they're perfectly fine with the people who are voting to take our money from us and give it to somebody else.
You mean their beliefs?
Yeah, their beliefs.
The things that they believe
in? Yes, their socialist beliefs are all fine. That's wonderful. You know what? When you steal money from other people and give it to and just redistribute it haphazardly, that's not charity. That's not unselfishness. That's pure evil. It's wrong to steal from people, and it's wrong to redistribute their money in really haphazard and terrible ways, like the government always does. But yeah, that's fine to the hosts, the anchors at MSNBC. It makes perfect sense to them.
But I mean, we're talking about stealing money, but what they're talking about is the government taxing us and taking it.
You're talking about
yeah. stealing.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just want to be clear that I know what you're talking about, because what they're talking about is the government.
The government. Well, they're talking about what they're talking about.
Using
is
the money charity. To help others.
Or charity. You know, some would call it.
Yes.
When the government takes it from you and gives it to somebody else.
Right.
That's charity. Right? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
No, and that's what Jesus wanted. Remember when he said Rome should take your money and give it to somebody else? Remember that? All those sermons.
I read that on a burger wrap or something.
all right. Michael in Colorado. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy. Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
All right.
Just wanted to kind of circle back around and readdress the climate change, and I wanted to ask you guys a direct question before I say what I have to say.
All right.
You really don't think that climate change is real?
Do I think man-caused climate change is real? No.
That wasn't the question.
No, I do not. Do I think the planet maybe warmed 0.9 degrees in the last 100 years? Yes.
Okay.
Do I think that's do I think that's cataclysmic? No.
No.
Do I believe that's on humans? No.
Okay.
All right.
If you want to have the conversation, mm-hmm. you have to first accept the viewpoint of the other side and find out what that's about. And it doesn't seem to me that the right is taking, well, most of the right is taking any of the conversation very seriously in the first place. Why not change to renewable? It's going to be expensive. We know that, you know, but the ocean levels are rising. The ice caps are melting. We see this as something that is going to be detrimental to human life on the planet.
Well, this kind of stuff,
how far out that is.
This has happened throughout the course of the planet. I mean, the ice caps melt, then they reform. The sea levels rise, then they fall. So and this is part of the natural process of the planet. It's happened forever.
We accelerate that by utilizing the resources of this planet in the way that we do.
Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
About. I'm not saying that he's a smart guy. What he is, mm-hmm. is a mouthpiece for a lot of really smart people that have put together the data that he presents. That's it. He's a politician.
Yes.
He's not a guy that knows what the math is.
And do you know that out of the climate models that have been put together for him, out of the 92 climate models, do you know how many of them have been accurate in predicting temperature rise? Zero.
Oh, I don't know that number.
None of
it's
them.
Probably not.
It's
zero.
It's zero. It is zero.
It's zero.
12 years.
It is zero.
Come up with.
I'm telling you what the number is. It's zero. So why?
I'm observing an accelerated. Like, I'm not even a scientist, and I see spring coming later, fall coming later. The cycle of the seasons is changing.
You need to move to Texas, my friend. It's summer all freaking year round. All year round.
Has it always been?
Yes. Yes, it has.
I don't know.
Yes, it has.
It's always summer in Colorado now, too, and that's not normal.
No, it is not always summer in Colorado. Get out of here. I mean, I grew up in Montana.
The first year.
I grew up in Montana, and it was cold and snowy some years, and it was less than cold and snowy some years. It's a cycle. It goes inside, and it has much more to do with whether there's El Nino then climate change. It's a cyclical climate that we have on this planet, and there's nothing you can do about it.
If you step back and look at the severity of that cycle, it's
no more severe than it's ever been. Where are the more frequent, more intense hurricanes? Where are the more frequent, more intense tornadoes that Al Gore was talking about in An Inconvenient Truth? Didn't happen for 12 years after the movie. 12 years! 12 years!
The worst hurricanes that we've ever had in history have just happened.
Michael, that is not true. A, that's not true. B, it took 12 years for there to be any hurricane after Inconvenient Truth. There hadn't been a major hurricane from 2005 all the way to last year when one finally hit Houston. Why didn't you talk about those years at all? You didn't talk about those years. Nobody did. Why? Because they were quiet and there was no neat reason to. And it didn't fit the agenda. It didn't fit the narrative for the climate change catastrophists. They didn't want to talk about it, so they didn't. And then when the first major hurricane finally does hit, then it's cataclysmic climate change. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. It's a hoax. It's the biggest hoax in mankind's history. The biggest hoax in history.
Exaggerating. If they're exaggerating, then they're exaggerating, and that's fine. But
that's fine.
The fact. So let's take it.
It's fine.
Both sides exaggerate to prove their point.
I'm not exaggerating. What have I exaggerated?
You are.
What have I exaggerated?
Well, you can't say that zero scientific studies on climate change.
I can because it's true. Look it up. Look
that
it up.
It has to be an exaggeration.
Look it up. It's not an exaggeration. And I know because you never hear that side of the argument. How old are you, Michael? You're a millennial?
35.
How old?
35.
Okay. So all you've heard your whole life is what you're telling me now, right? I mean, you've been peppered with this in school. You've been peppered with it throughout your young adult life, and you just bought it because nobody sat you down and showed you the actual statistics on it.
No, I think that I've seen enough data and made my own informed decision to believe it.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. But you've never even heard that the climate models aren't
with anything.
I mean, where were you the last 12 years of no hurricanes, though? Where were you then? I mean,
there's a hurricane in Hawaii right now, isn't there?
No, it was passed. A rain event, but it
passed the islands.
It passed the islands. So, but again,
anyway,
again, it has. There have been
hurricanes.
Hurricanes. There have been, but from 2005 to 2017, there were no major hurricanes that made landfall in the United States of America. And
well, in the United States of America, what about that?
Well, that's what we were talking about in An Inconvenient Truth. We were promised by Al Gore that they're going to be more frequent and more intense because of Katrina. So the inference there is it's going to affect the United States.
Everything that he says at exact face value, nobody knows exactly when it's going to occur or whatever. The thing is,
okay.
The last thing I want to say is, okay, so the Paris Agreement, everybody else is still sticking to that. There must be something to that.
No, not necessarily.
In other countries' ideology that says this is probably a good thing. I can see the benefit of this, but we pull out because we want to keep burning coal like we were in the 1700s. We can't move forward.
No, well, we are trying to move forward. You mentioned renewables, and now you're back to them again when you first started your call. No one is against renewables, but we don't have any renewables that are as strong and as productive as what we're using already. Mm-hmm. There's no... Plus, with renewables being subsidized...
25
with our
to
tax
one,
dollars,
25 there, to one over
when,
oil.
When we can get renewables that actually create power, we don't have to worry about the lights turning on and off when we come into the house, which we all like, including you, I'm sure, like to come in the house and go, oh, I just hit the switch, there's the light. We have that in America because of coal and power that other countries don't have.
And we're not saying appreciate the call, Michael, and appreciate talking to you. And
yeah, it was great.
I'm glad you called. But I'm not saying that it should be coal anyway. Nobody's talking about bringing coal back to the levels it once was.
Once was, no, but I think Trump is trying to bring
it's
it back.
It's mostly natural gas that has replaced a lot of the coal energy that we used
and
to.
And nuclear power.
I mean, there's a million different things we can do. Wind and solar just aren't ready to replace it yet.
Right. When they are... Great.
Wind and solar, Michael, if you're still listening, and hopefully you are, account for about 5% of our energy. About 5%.
That
might be a little too high.
I think that's high.
I think that might be too high. It's 4 or 5%. It's somewhere in there if you combine the two, wind and solar.
But they're not sturdy enough.
So there's no what I'm saying is there's no renewable energy ready to replace fossil fuels. Now, when you have it, let me know.
I'm
happy to embrace it. 888-727 back. It's back. Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. And the climate change thing is agonizing. Oh, my gosh. We've got a generation of people that have been so indoctrinated with that, that have been so convinced
100%
in
convinced.
The education system that they believe they see it every day. I mean, is there anything different that is happening today than has ever happened? We've always had fires. We've always had heat. We've always had cold. We've always had snow. We've always had drought.
Not like
this.
We've
always had rain. We've always had all of these things.
Not like this.
Yes, like this.
Not like this, my friend.
It seems bad now because it's happening now. You forgot what it was like when it happened before.
You mean like the floods that they call the 100-year floods? Those kind of floods. Stuff mm-hmm. like that, where yes. places, different places in the United States and around the world, but specifically mm-hmm. in the United States, where, you know, every 100 to 150 years, this particular area will flood.
Yes.
And then
yeah.
about 30 mm-hmm. years into that 150 years, we decide, man, that's never going to flood there again. We'll build there.
We'll start building all kinds of homes there.
We'll build businesses. We'll build all kinds of stuff there. We can look, yeah. if something starts to happen, we can take care of it. Nope. Doesn't happen.
Oh, I remember when I was a kid, the Mississippi River used to flood all the time. The Missouri River would flood people. I mean, people got flooded yeah. all the time. I remember hearing about the floods in the Midwest all the time.
Yeah, when I was a kid in Michigan, my grandparents lived on the Cass River. And every year it flooded. There were pictures of the water coming up to the back of the house, mm-hmm. coming up to maybe the back of the work shed, because their house was the second lot in from the river. And so it would come up to the house. And it would just, oh, yeah, came up to the back porch steps this year. Came up to just the back of the garage this year. And then the 100-year flood comes, and it buries all the houses that they've built yep. up to the second floor. And yep. it's not pretty, and it's ugly. But now they say, well, maybe we shouldn't build there. You think?
Earthquakes, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes. Oh, it's, you know, we've always had them. Always had them. And then we're told they're going to be more frequent and more severe. More intense, more frequent in 2005 because we just came out of Katrina. Everybody's, you know, sensitive to it. Everybody's afraid of it. We're told that 12 years go by and nothing. We don't have a single major hurricane in the mainland. Not one. We have a couple of little ones, and even those were few and far between.
Yeah, and they bring up Sandy too, which was not a hurricane.
Not a hurricane. It was a tropical storm.
They continued to ram that one because they continued to call it Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah,
because it was a hurricane when it was out in the ocean.
Right.
But by the time it made landfall, not close to it, was not a hurricane.
Exactly. So then last year when Harvey pops up. It's global warming all of a sudden.
See?
Wait, what about the last 12 years? Are you kidding me? Those meant nothing? And what do you mean that this sea level rise? Al Gore has said, and he's getting his experts facts on this. Al Gore has claimed the sea level is going to rise 20 feet in the next 100 years.
Florida should be underwater by now.
It's unbelievable. And he's claiming victory when it floods in Miami for a day or two and then it recedes. Well, that's not what you were predicting. That's not what you were predicting.
Not close.
Stop it. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn. 888-727-BECK. Another thing that our caller a few minutes ago on climate change mentioned were the Paris agreements and why everybody else has signed on to that but us. Do you know the Paris agreements don't change anything? You know that even if you were to adhere to every stipulation in the Paris agreements for as long as they last,
the planet will be saved, is what you're going to say.
No. No, that is not. That's not the case.
Oh.
It still wouldn't be anywhere near enough by their own calculation. Hmm. So, I mean, why are we even... Why? If you have to do something to save the planet, then save the planet. The Paris Agreement isn't going to do it. So tell us what you really want, which is, you know, your $10 trillion, according to some, $92 trillion adventure, according to Al Gore. Well, okay, let's get that out there, and let's debate that. Let's debate that. Okay, is it really going to happen? And is it really worth $92 trillion?
Is it going to make a difference in saving the Earth that you believe needs to be saved?
Yeah, and you're going to bankrupt the planet. You're absolutely going to bankrupt the planet doing it.
And it, well,
good
and,
luck.
And yeah, it's not going to make a difference. The numbers don't work out.
Right.
And the numbers do work out for several people's bank accounts. Not mine, by the way. I could be, you know, my arm twisted. For a couple of billion. I could be for the Paris.
You could.
I could be.
Yeah.
I'm just going on record.
All right. So you're not that, I mean, you're pretty easy.
I'm committed. No, I'm committed. It's going to take at least half a billion.
Okay. And if we, half a million?
Half a billion.
Oh, half a billion.
That's not cheap. Okay. Half a million. What?
You might be easy, but you're not cheap.
Half a million.
Okay.
Okay. Half a million. Okay. A million.
And then we won't see fish swimming down city streets on sunny days like Al Gore warned us about. Yeah.
Hey, I went down to Miami and saw fish from the ocean swimming in the streets on a sunny day.
He went down to Miami and saw fish from the ocean swimming down streets on a sunny day.
The same thing was true in Honolulu just 2 days ago, just from high tides because of the sea level rise now.
We are going to suffer
some of these consequences, but we can limit and avoid the most catastrophic consequences if we accelerate the pace of change that's now beginning.
See, that's why I always say, have you ever seen the fish swimming down the street on a sunny day? Have you ever seen that, Jeffy?
I have not.
It's a frightening occurrence. Because
it's so bad.
If someone told me long ago, our SUVs have got to go. I know. Climate change is killing us. The problem is Greenland's melting, as I've said, and pretty soon we'll all be dead. It's true. And there is consensus. I want to know, have you ever seen the fish? I want to know, have you ever seen the fish swim down your street on a sunny day? As I've said right here before, the sun is cold. CO2 is hot. I know. It drives up our temperatures. You know, a carbon tax is what we need. ExxonMobil just needs to bleed. Are you a climate denier, I wonder? I want to know, have you ever seen the fish? I want to know, have you ever seen the fish swim down your street on a sunny day? Like they've seen in Miami and Honolulu.
Fantastic.
They've seen it. Thank you.
Fantastic. That was beautiful.
Is it
beautiful?
Moved you, right?
Beautiful.
Moved you. 888-727-BECK.
That's a hit.
Oh yeah,
that's a hit, my friend.
Yeah. It's one of the top downloaded songs of the century, I think.
It better be.
I'll have to look into those numbers.
Better be.
I got them from Al. So.
Oh, so yeah. Well, maybe Al's using that accelerated pace that we need.
John in Pennsylvania. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy.
Hi, Pat.
Hey.
Hey, you know, I was listening last hour, and I was kind of upset a little bit, so bear with me.
Okay.
And I'm calmed down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
because when I listen to you talk to that previous caller, I realize, you know, what value you have. But I left you guys with the Trump election, and it got to this where we're talking about this compromising on our principles. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I am, you know, you don't know me, but I am a very ethical conservative. Mm-hmm. I don't care too much about the monetary stuff. So abortion, for instance, is a big deal for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. And for the last couple elections from the Republicans, we had to compromise our principles. I mean, you had Mitt Romney, who was for abortion, against it, for it, against it. George Bush was a compassionate conservative, but what did he do? I don't know. Not too much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a man like Trump that comes along, and one of the first things that he did was to sign an executive order to stop paying for abortions in Mexico. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That act alone, I don't know how many millions of lives that'll be over, say, 4 years or 8 years if he's in there for a second term. So I hear people say to me all the time, well, you look at the man. He's a lousy man. Look at what he did in his past. Look at this. Look at that. And we have to stand on principles. We can't give up. We've been doing that for decades. Okay, we have a man in the White House, like him or not, and I call him the good, bad, and the ugly, because you never know which one of those 3 days you're gonna how he's gonna show up.
It's not bad.
Okay, mm-hmm. But he does more mm-hmm. by his actions, not by his mouth, but by his actions. And I have my friends leaving me, saying, "Well, you know, you don't have any principles. I can't stand with you anymore." And these are the same people that we voted for Bush, we voted for John McCain, we voted for Doyle. I mean, it just, you know, mm-hmm. and at some point we have to say, we have to bend the ear a little bit and say, well, you know, what is he actually doing? Is he doing good? I mean, I like the guy, but we can't be in the house that's burning and polishing furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I mean, part of the reason that we were so hell-bent on not voting for Trump was because we voted for McCain, we voted for Bush, we voted for Romney, we compromised and compromised and compromised and never got what we wanted or needed. And so that's kind of what we were tired of doing and why we took the stand we took during the election. However, as you have outlined, John, we've seen some of the fruits of his labor in office, and a lot of them have been really good. Like you mentioned, he at least stopped funding abortion in foreign countries.
And when you talk about the bad things about Trump in the past, that's why it doesn't matter now, because it's already baked in. We knew it.
Mm-hmm.
We knew it in the beginning, right? I mean, so did you. Yeah. But now, mm-hmm. don't pay attention to his tweets. Look at what he's doing. And when you look at what's actually happening,
yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, moving the embassy to Israel, no American president has ever done that. Nobody had the giblets to do that and pull it off. And he did. And so he's done some really good things. What I don't want is for the Republicans to become all about Trump, though. That's what I was talking about. Like the Ron DeSantis ad, where all he talks about is that loves Trump.
That's just a Trump love
cult
piece.
Of Trump, cult of personality. That's just nonsense. We can't become Trump. We still have to have something that you stand for. And, you know, when Trump stands for things that I agree with, and he has, I think we talk about it. I think we praise him when it's deserved.
Well, I was going to say, these people that are running are still, they're not in, Trump is an unusual animal. I mean, I really don't consider him to be a politician. He's definitely an entertainer, mm-hmm. and he's definitely, he's got, you know, he's bigger than life, and mm-hmm. his ego is what gets him in trouble, but it's his ego, it's also that makes him his strong point. And these politicians, when they get in office, why do we always say, well, he was a wonderful guy, but I don't know what happened to that guy 8 years later. He just turned to the other side.
Right.
Because they start getting baked into that pie. And
And the Republican Party is at a crossroads. But they're, you know, I think if Trump got more support, I actually feel sorry for Trump, for the $9 billion, for all the slack that he is constantly being pummeled, the lies to his family. The Mueller investigation is going to go after him.
It has been nonstop, that's for sure.
Destroy him.
Yeah, I mean, it has.
We should be supporting this man, even though we may not like everything he does. But, you know, I left George Bush in 2006 when he destroyed the Fourth Amendment with the Patriot Act, you know, the search and seizure. I mean, you know, so it's just like, you know, this is our last shot, I think, you know, really. And if we don't rally somewhat, and I understand, and we have to, you know, say, okay, this is the line, I can't cross it, but I mean, what's the alternative? I mean, that's not a rhetorical question, and we have nowhere to go.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. And that's
boy,
true.
Have a great weekend, John.
Yeah,
thanks for picking that up.
Or like Richard Gere in An Officer and a Gentleman, when he's being hosed down by the sergeant.
Look,
and he says, well, Mayo, why don't you quit? Why don't you quit? I got nowhere else to go. That's Republicans in 2018.
Gere, was that you?
No, yeah. It's close, right?
Play a clip from
I got
movie?
Nowhere else to go.
Classic movie.
It's a great movie.
Officer and a Gentleman.
And it's a great point. And that's where we are. We don't have anywhere else to go.
Boy, no,
where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? I couldn't figure it out during the campaign, during the election. You know, we wound up with Evan McMillan. I barely remember the guy's name. But he wasn't the answer either. But it was as close as I could come to one.
Was it? What is that? Evan? Was it Evan McMillan? Is that right?
McMullen. McDonald's. I don't know.
I can't remember now.
Golden Arches. I don't know. The guy with the really big clown feet. Ronald McDonald. I'm not sure who it was.
But he was not either, though, right?
No.
I mean, he wasn't the full.
No.
The
answer was Ted Cruz to me, but we didn't have that chance.
No, we did not.
When it came to the actual election.
No, we did not.
888-727 Beck.
Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn.
You know, this weekend, Pat, you know what I'm going to do? I know you're probably going to watch football, but I'm going to order Addicted to Outrage.
Are you?
It's going to be released next month, but I can pre-order it on Amazon.
Oh, wow.
And so as soon as it's
great.
Released, they'll just ship it right to my house.
Huh.
So you should do that.
So Glenn's not going to give you a free copy? You got to...
Wait,
you
what?
Really are a low man on the totem pole here, aren't you?
What? He's giving away free. I could get a free copy?
Yeah, I mean,
what the hell am I going to Amazon for then?
I don't know. I, you know,
I don't think I'm addicted to outrage now. I think I am outraged.
You know what I'm going to do next week? In 1 week from today, we're going to do more on trivia.
I know, it'll be fun.
It's going to be really fun. Green Bay, Chicago is our first.
Of course. So
on Pat Gray Unleashed, which follows this show immediately on the Blaze Radio and TV networks, we will be doing it in the second hour. So that'll
be fun.
1 o'clock Eastern, 12 Central. Okay?
What about Alaska? If I'm listening in Alaska.
It's like 8:35, I think, in Alaska. 8:35. 888-727-BECK. Let's go to Peg in Connecticut. Hey, Peg, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hello? Peg?
Yeah.
Hey, we'll come back to you. Peg? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can through the miracle of the telephone.
Oh, is this the red phone that used to be on your TV show?
Yeah, no. It's just a black one. It's just a regular old phone. So
that's the miracle of it.
Yeah. Real quick, we got about 30 seconds. Go ahead. Hello?
Oh, she's gone.
She got mad.
She got mad. She got mad at you.
That was it? Really?
I mean, why? How? That's really not fair of using a miracle of a telephone like that and then not using it to its full capability.
She just wanted to see if you could hear from all the way from Pennsylvania, I guess, to Texas.
Well, and we can.
You can. Thank you, Alexander Graham Bell. Thank you.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.